Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Donut Racing Show, where we bring a yard sale mindset to the Sotheby's auction house obsessed podium of Formula One racing. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, my favorite auto journalists and authors of Racing with Rich Energy. Make sure you buy that book if you haven't already. It's Elizabeth Blackstock and Alanis King.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. How we doing after quite a weird race this weekend?
I think I'm still recovering, honestly. I feel like I haven't fully digested the Dutch Grand Prix at this point yet.
I am also still recovering. I mean, what a weekend. Like, from qualifying through the whole race, there was just a lot going on.
Oh, man. Yesterday, I had a couple buddies over to watch the race, and they brought Nitro cold brew coffee, which I graciously accepted and drank, and then immediately followed up with a mimosa. And then I bought donuts on my own. So I was just like, I was not feeling good. I felt like shit. I felt like I was going to die all day.
I was about to say, this seems like the worst possible combination.
It was terrible.
It seems like a middle school science project where you're trying to make a volcano.
Yeah. I turned 30 this year, and I'm slowly learning that means I'm not in my 20s anymore. My body is not in its 20s anymore. That was a combo I could easily conquer. When I was like 21, no problem. I ate like shit in college. But when I got back from Bonneville, I actually have kind of like cast away my sweet tooth. And like, I haven't really been drinking that much at all.
Well, Nolan, it's only been a couple of weeks.
I know, but I feel like that's long enough. My body got used to being like, all right, we're taking it easy now. Like, whatever. And then I went like whole hog back into that crummy lifestyle, and I was paying for it. Anyway, all right. That's how my day went.
I had the 2024 Audi Q8 Sportback S-Line e-tron Quattro Prestige. Ooh. That is the full vehicle name.
Wow, we're getting up there with like Dodge levels of just tacking on more names at the end of things.
When you have to say 2024 Audi Q8 Sportback S-Line e-tron Quattro Prestige that many times, you start to lose it.
It's a lot, yeah.
That was how my weekend went.
I learned that my girl cat that I thought was a girl was actually a boy. So I named him AJ Foyt the fourth because he is our fourth cat. And he finally accepted love because he got neutered. So
Aww. That
was my weekend. Was great, great time.
I was in the camp of leaving his name Mama, and then you named him AJ Foyt.
Honestly, like I thought about like leaving it as Mama because I thought that'd be a good bit. But
it also, is a good bit.
Also, I walked outside and I saw my husband's got, we poached some banners from Pocono when IndyCar used to race there. So they're the AJ Foyt ABC Supply Company banners. I saw those and I was like, oh, I've got a name. In today's episode, we are talking about the Dutch Grand Prix, which was absolute chaos from start to finish.
Yeah, as you probably know, if you watched it, this weekend was wild. It was ridiculous. So instead of doing our normal thing where we only focus on the racing and the qualifying and everything like that, we got to hit some bigger news stories from the week. So the last week of summer break kicked off with the internet going absolutely wild over reports of Max Verstappen speeding in Monaco.
Yeah, heard about this.
He wasn't just speeding, though. Tell us more. Give me more.
Elizabeth, you tell me more. I know that he was in an Aston Martin Valkyrie, and I think he was in a tunnel.
Yes. The video isn't dated, so it's kind of hard to tell, but he was allegedly driving 20 miles per hour over the speed limit and could be prosecuted in France. Aston Martin posted on Twitter soon after a marketing video of the Valkyrie and captioned it, "Crafted to push boundaries on roads as well as tracks. Agreed, Max Verstappen." Perfect. Honestly, like, perfect, beautiful tie-in. Part of me is hoping that this is actually, Alanis, this is your theory come to life, that instead of you locking Max Verstappen in a small room before the race starts, he locked Max Verstappen in a jail cell and continue on with the championship.
And then it's me. I've done it. It's me. I would rather lock Max Verstappen in a NASCAR truck at Talladega, but if we put him in a jail cell, I think he's still going to win the championship. But that begs the question, who becomes Max Verstappen for the rest of the season?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know, but I do know if they prosecuted people for going 20 over in L.A., they'd really have their hands full. Am I right, guys? Am I right?
That was good.
Thanks.
Also, if it was 20 over anywhere, 20 over in Texas, I'd be over. I'd be done for.
When I went through a road trip through Texas one time, total side note, but sorry. And I was like, I can't wait to see those 85 mile per hour speed limits. I didn't find any of them because
there's just one.
I spent my whole trip going like 55, and I was like, what the heck is wrong with Texas? Turns out my GPS was set to avoid toll highways.
Yeah, so I was just going on highways like, that are the good ones.
Yeah. I did not know that. Anyway.
Oh, today he learned.
Let's talk about Haas.
Haas, we have learned, has signed both Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen. They're back for 2024.
How do you think Kevin Magnussen feels about his F1 career ending a few years ago, and now he's back and Haas re-signed him? Like, do you think he's like, yeah, go me, or do you think he's like, they just don't have anybody else?
You know, that's a good question, because there are so many like young drivers out there that I think would be very stoked for it. But also, if I was Kevin Magnussen, I'd keep signing and hopefully getting money. So
totally agree.
Be worse.
I think it speaks to the kind of, one, the elite nature of these drivers. There aren't that many people in the world qualified to do this. And, you know, we saw earlier in the season Nick DeVries, and we talked about Nick DeVries' dismissal and ended the episode with on a kind of optimistic note. I think we will see Nick DeVries back behind the driver's seat. Ooh. Maybe definitely not at AlphaTauri or Red Bull, but, you know, on another team, because the skill set is so unique to drive these things. And also, if you're a personable and professional driver, easy to work with, fun to work with, like probably Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen, you can have a long career in F1, maybe not for an elite team, but you can be there for a team that is struggling, like Haas.
I feel like in the Red Bull system, if you're not the chosen boy or the boy who takes orders, which is Checo, if you're not one of those, they let you go before we can really see your talent. So let's take 100%. Alex Albon, for example. We're all watching Alex Albon right now, and we're like, oh my goodness, Alex, yeah. He didn't survive long enough for us to really do that when he was in the Red Bull system.
Exactly.
And back to Kevin Magnussen, he said Haas feels like home to him. And I mean, I guess that's really like sweet and sentimental, but you could also take it the other way in that it feels like home because Daddy Gunther Steiner is just yelling the F word at you and calling you a kindergartner the whole time.
I was going to say, like, you didn't specify it was a healthy, happy home. This could be a broken home. Also, he's from Denmark, which is not known for its warmth, so could be. Anyway, both of the drivers celebrated this new accomplishment. Nico, by damaging his front wing in a barrier collision in FP1, and Kevin Magnussen by crashing into the barriers during the wet FP3 session. As a result, he had to start from pit lane during the Grand Prix because they had to replace multiple power unit elements, which is bad news bears. Gunther, classic Gunther, told Sky Sports he's quite disappointed with this on an outlap in turn 3, knowing we only had 2 new front wings left. I'm pretty pissed off right now. I love him.
Daddy Gunther's mad at you again, just like home.
I love that, like, the assumption here is that they like sat down the drivers at the start of the weekend. They were like, we only have 2 wings. We've only got the 2. And Nico and Kevin looked at each other and were like, you know what we have to do? We both have to knock our wings off.
I mean, knowing Gunther Steiner, he probably did sit them down and say that. He's very big about bringing everybody into his office and cussing them out.
That's true.
The big news story of the race weekend in free practice 2, Oscar Piastri had a little crash, which then caused another driver to crash. Daniel Ricciardo comes around the corner. He sees Piastri's McLaren, and instead of hitting the young rookie driver, decides to hit the wall himself instead, breaking his hand in the process. And as a result, Daniel Ric's going to be out for a little bit, and Liam Lawson will be taking his place. That means 4 AlphaTauri drivers for this season. I think we'll see Danny back sooner than later. I think these doctors they have over in F1 are on some other ish, if you know what I mean. Wasn't Lance Stroll like broke his wrist on that bike and was back like 2 weeks later?
Yeah, yeah. Now we have another broken wrist.
They sent him to like an experimental government facility for rich kids, and they're like, "We are going to fuse the bones." I mean, truly.
Okay. Yeah. So did anyone see the photo Daniel Ricciardo posted, I think post-surgery of his broken wrist in the cast? Did you notice that this man is not wearing a shirt? And I don't think I don't think you need to be shirtless for a wrist operation. So no. I just...
That's very true.
Suns out, guns out.
I just really love that he was like, summer break ain't over yet, boys. I'm shirtless.
And you gotta get that sick tan. Like, show it off while you got it.
It's your wrist.
I just want to point out that AlphaTauri has had more drivers this year than it has points. I think we just...
No, what? Yeah. It doesn't have 4 points yet.
No.
Oh,
no,
we have 3. Oh, my goodness. That's unreal. So this story begs the question, who is Liam Lawson, Daniel Ricciardo's replacement? Quote, 21-year-old reserve driver for Red Bull and AlphaTauri, who has been competing in the Japan-based Super Formula Championship this year. He's second in those standings ahead of the season finale in October with a convenient break in his schedule to fill in for Danny. That's pretty dang convenient. Mm-hmm. He's a New Zealander. He's a Kiwi. talks like this. Has a very sing-song voice. Actually, I don't know if that's true.
One can assume.
This weekend isn't his first F1 rodeo, though. He made his F1 weekend debut with the AlphaTauri team during free practice 1 for the Belgian Grand Prix last year, but this will be his first Grand Prix. What a race to start off his career with. That's nutty. Oscar is the one who replaced Daniel at McLaren, so this can be seen as his second time taking Daniel out.
Dude, I didn't even think of it like that.
Oscar the Menace. God. What do we think Oscar the Grouch thinks? What does Oscar's mom think about him taking Danny out twice? Let's look her up on
Oscar's
Twitter.
Mom had some things to say about how she booked an early morning like Pilates class or something, so she wanted the race to get on with it, get through the red flag. Bless her light.
Danny's teammate Yuki didn't have a great weekend this weekend either. He got a 3-grid place penalty for impeding Lewis Hamilton during qualifying. And then he also got a black and white flag for forcing someone off the track during the race, which affected his points. It was kind of some bull crap.
I have a related question about Daniel and crashing and everything. Formula One doesn't have spotters. Daniel Ricciardo had a spotter. I do not think he would have a broken wrist right now. And this actually, this point was made by my friend Devin Altieri on Twitter. Should F1 have spotters, at least in certain areas of the track where they can't see what's going on ahead of them?
I think it makes sense. It is pretty crazy that they don't have. No.
Oh, no. Okay.
And I think they shouldn't have race engineers in their ear either. Take me back to the good old days. Just because I think it'd make it for more chaos. But also, I guess Daniel Ricciardo would have more of a broken hand. Who knows?
Elizabeth just wants complete chaos. Elizabeth doesn't want anything to go well.
I really do. Like, I wish the drivers could talk to the team, because I still want to hear Max Verstappen commenting on the weather, but
He talked about the dark clouds this weekend. He was like, the clouds are getting dark. And I was like, Max, look at the track.
Max knows those Dutch clouds. And when he saw they were getting gray, he was like, rain is on the way.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that is science right there.
He knows those clouds.
I thought qualifying was really fun. A few notable things that happened included Lewis getting eliminated in Q2, and Logan Sargeant, our American hero, our golden boy, making it to Q3 for the first time in his rookie season. And what happened immediately after he went out for Q3? Boom. He hit the wall. He crashed. He was out. It was over. But wow, what a guy. Logan put on slicks and he hit a damp part of the track, which sent him spinning through the gravel and into a barrier. But even still, he is the first American top 10 qualifier in Formula One in 30 years.
That's insane.
What a guy.
Who was the last one? Was it Michael Andretti?
Yes.
Nice. 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 Mm-hmm. Let the Andrettis in. That's just my segue. Anyway, I was so excited for Logan. Like, I did sleep through qualifying because I
but
was
I
tired.
Was so excited.
I rewatched. I didn't get any spoilers at all. So I like rewatched. I skipped through all of the interim parts, and then I skipped through the start of Q3, and I turned it on to him in the wall. And I was like, "Are you freaking serious?" I was over here like freaking prepared. I was jazzed for Loints, and we did not get them.
Oh, God, not Loints again. If you didn't know Loints, Loints is Logan Points.
I was
and
able
it's
to
a disgusting word.
Figure that out.
Loints,
yeah.
Loints, Loints. It's going to happen. It just wasn't this weekend.
Alex Albon qualified P4, equaling his career best, but we'll talk more about Alex later. I think Q3 was super interesting because of the timing of the red flags. So Logan goes out, immediate red flag because he hits the wall. And then later, our sad, sad boy, Charles Leclerc, also crashed. He caused a red flag with 4 minutes left. So everybody sits around for a while, hangs out. Nothing's going on. We're waiting for them to clean up this crash. And then when Q3 finally resumed, we had just enough time for a warm-up lap and a hot lap. Like, everybody was one shot, one opportunity to do something, not get the pole because Max Verstappen's going to do that, but qualify somewhere. And I thought it was kind of intense.
I really liked it. They used to do one lap shootout qualifying. And I like that's one of the things that I think is really neat because it puts a lot of pressure on it. And you have to do like your lap. You don't get a chance to like screw up and try again.
I think they should bring that back. Yeah. But without telling the teams, like the teams don't know which weekend it's going to be one shot.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? I'm here for that.
Here's a question, though. Do they put them out in a specific order? Or is it one-shot group qualifying?
One-shot group qualifying. Gotta be. Send them in a pack.
one-shot group qualifying is horrific because a few years ago, NASCAR did this, and their aero package was so bad that if you went out first, you were at such a disadvantage that you were done for, you were screwed. So they had group qualifying, and they had time segments that you had to go out. So you could run as many laps as you wanted, but no one wanted to go on track. So everyone just sat in a big group at the end of pit road playing chicken and inching forward for literally like 10 minutes until the final seconds.
It was ridiculous. My system would be like a lottery system. Mm. It's randomly selected the order and you go out at a specified time, one at a time. So you can't draft or anything like that. The track conditions might change, but, you know, that might give a slower team the advantage or might make Max get pole again. But I think, one, that'd be dramatic. So you have like an hour-long session, one block, and, you know, you just watch each car go one at a time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's great, especially with our, like, purple sectors and things like that, showing how people are stacking up. It would be super fun. Some other series use the ghost car, so they'll just another driver's lap, and you can watch the overlay.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I bet they could make some technology where they actually have, like, overlaying the car footage over the top of the T-cam.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that. And it's disappointing me that it's not real. So
yes. I agree.
Now I'm mad.
Mr. Formula One, if you're listening, please.
Yes.
Our top 10 in qualifying were Max Verstappen, Lando Norris, George Russell, Alex Albon, Fernando Alonso, Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez, Oscar Piastri, and then our crashers, Charles Leclerc and Logan Sargeant.
Not a bad lineup, honestly. It was a really good top 10, and then that brought us into race day.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Which, oh boy, was that a fun one. I think we can agree
it really was.
That it was chaotic and very enjoyable to watch as a result of that. There was heavy rain, which was so heavy that the race was red flagged at one point. So everyone was all over the place trying to manage it. The rain would like come in little bursts, so it would kind of, it would like pour and then it would sprinkle, and then no one really had any idea what was going on. I was here for it. I'm glad that they did the red flag because that, you know, the conditions were getting a little dangerous. But this was like the perfect amount of wet to make the race fun. It started pouring almost immediately, which was great because Most of the grid was on soft tires, so if you had planned for a dry race start, you were screwed. As a result of that, many people chose to pit on lap two due to the sudden rain, including Ferrari, our beautiful, wonderful Ferrari, who pulled a very Ferrari pit stop by not having any tires ready for Charles Leclerc. So they fumbled that bad boy, and Leclerc fell behind.
It was just insane. One of our friends that was watching with us doesn't regularly watch F1, and he's like, was that supposed to happen?
No.
Why? And we're, of course, like, no. But it was like... it was perfect. It was so perfectly bad, and just a total encapsulation of Ferrari season. Regular listeners of the show know that, dude. It was insane, actually, seeing the people on soft tires stay out.
I know.
And for a couple laps, and getting to see the speed differential between someone on slicks and someone on intermediates when Perez came in and just started flying by people. That was so cool to see.
I thought it absolutely rocked. I think it's so fun when this kind of things happen. When this kind of thing happens, and the teams have to decide, okay, do we risk it and stay out on softs because we think the racing line is going to dry up really quickly, or do we go in and pit for inters? Because a thing that happens when it starts to rain is if it doesn't rain heavily and the racing line gets hot and dries up, then you have a dry line and your inters are going to get totally eaten up. Mm-hmm. So if you're on inters, you have to take the non-racing line to stay in the damp. But if you're on dry tires and slick tires, you're fine. So it's a matter of, like, do we stay out here because we think it's going to dry up quickly? Or do we pit because we think it's going to stay wet for longer? It is such a fascinating thing to watch, and I love it.
It is, because it really showcases how much of this sport is up to the team and these strategy and decisions that get made without the drivers, well, with some of the drivers' input, but, you know, the drivers don't have access to the radar. They don't have access to the other kind of metrics that these teams have available to them. Just so, so cool. Such a dance with fate.
It had me wondering, like, what weather systems are the teams using? Because it seemed like everybody had a completely different idea of what the weather was about to do. There were, like, multiple times where a team would hop on the radio and be like, all right, it's going to be dry for the rest of the race. And then someone else on a different team would be on there to the driver like, all right, we're preparing for rain in 30 seconds. It's going to be just a light rain. And then someone else completely is like, all right, we got a downpour coming in. Be ready.
Yeah. I mean, it showcases how optimism might affect how they interpret things, too. Like, is it wishful thinking that they think there's not going to be any more rain? It's fascinating.
I mean, I think your strategy play when it comes to weather also depends on where you are in the standing. So, like, let's say you have a potential for a podium, or you have a potential for points. You're going to have a different level of optimism and also, like, level of worry about the rain and any incoming weather than someone who's in, like, 15th. And you know what? Maybe if we think it's going to rain and we pit and we get these different tires and no one else does, maybe we end up in the points. If it doesn't work, we don't risk anything because we don't get any points anyway.
Speaking of risk, I think next time, just keep this in mind, next time you watch a race and it starts to rain, and you will probably see Red Bull make the first move when it comes to tires, because like, this is something we've seen over and over again. Red Bull is a team that takes gambles. Mercedes is a team that plays it safe.
Always. And
Ferrari is a team that
messes everything up. Who knows what's going
on? They mess everything up. But you'll see it. You saw it happen this weekend, too. Perez came in. He was down, like, near the back of that grid. Came in early for those intermediates and got all the way up to, like, a podium position within five laps, right? Mercedes, it took them a bit to react to what Red Bull was doing and seeing the proof that it could work. That's all you need to know about those teams. Red Bull gambles, Mercedes plays it safe.
And Ferrari messes it up.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. Charles Leclerc went off track several times during qualifying before he crashed in Q3. What a guy. I mean, he's just sad at this point. That pretty much set the tone for the weekend. You may have seen the photo of him watching the rest of qualifying from a trackside camping chair, and, like, he just has that look on his face where his, like, his disappointment is so obvious in his little cheek dimples, and it's just sad. It's just awful. He was one of the drivers who came in for tires on lap two. Turned out his tires were non-existent. They were not there. It was a horrible pit stop. By lap four, he went wide into the gravel despite his inters, but he still held on to P5. And I think the tire thing is also very interesting here, because the general wisdom right now is that F1's full wet tires are not very good. So in F1, you have your three slick compounds. You have hard, medium, soft for every weekend, and those are a different combination of Pirelli's million other compounds. And then you have intermediates, which is, you know, damp, light rain. Then you have full wets, which is it's pouring, we have to displace a lot of water. General wisdom right now is that those wets are not very good and they're not working very well. So we saw pretty much everyone on inters, and Charles Leclerc goes through the gravel on the inters. So not awesome. Things kept getting worse around lap eight. Carlos Sainz's engineer let him know that Charles Leclerc had front wing damage, to which Carlos responded, "Okay, don't slow me down, please," because they were front to back. So Carlos is catching up to his teammate, and he's like, "Let me past him." The implication here is that Ferrari wasn't immediately going to swap them. They were in P6 and P7, but they did, and Charles Leclerc ended up pitting for a new front wing a few laps later. And then it got worse. On lap 43, Charles Leclerc was put out of his misery. They just gave it up. They retired the car due to floor damage that they sustained early in the race due to the scuffle with Piastri, who is our local menace. Thank you, Oscar Piastri, for making things interesting. When Charles Leclerc went into the pits on lap 43, I turned to my husband and I said, "They're giving up." And he was like, "No, they're not giving up." And then they gave up.
Dude, it's Ferrari. They're giving up. They're calling it quits.
It's over. They're calling it quits. The overall vibe was absolutely chaotic throughout the field, not just at Ferrari. But there was one constant, and that was our guy, Max Verstappen, who is not yet in a French jail cell.
I'm rooting for Max now. Yeah, I'm rooting for him to break that record. Max Verstappen has officially tied Sebastian Vettel for 9 consecutive Grand Prix wins, the most of any drivers out there. Next race, he's going to go for that 10, and I'm excited. That's going to be a fun one to watch, hopefully. So, sticking with our new view that we got to appreciate a GOAT when he's around, here's a few cool stats about Max. He has taken pole at every Dutch Grand Prix he's been in. This was his 8th pole of the year as well, which surpassed last year's total. Oof. He also pulled some classic Verstappen moves, undercutting his teammate Sergio Perez around lap 13 to get back into the lead, to which Checo asked over the radio, "Did Max undercut us?" To which his engineer replied, "Yes." Yeah, just a masterclass from Max this weekend at his home race. No surprise there. Crowd was going crazy for him. Dude, that firework display that went off when he crossed the finish line, that was pretty sweet.
That was wild.
Honestly, all congrats to Max right now. We're all rooting for you, dude. We want to see this happen. While this stuff's going down, we might as well enjoy it. So we are witnessing greatness as it happens, witnessing history. So very exciting stuff for Max Verstappen.
I have a question.
Yes.
If Max Verstappen goes to jail for speeding, and he wins the last...
Rich people don't go to jail.
Okay, but let's just say theoretically he goes to jail, okay, and he wins the last race before jail and the first race after jail. Is that still consecutive race wins because it was consecutive for the races he was there? Or is it not consecutive race wins because he missed races? Like, in terms of the Vettel record, does it count? Like, maybe he would have his own record, like consecutive wins that he was in the race.
It'd be an asterisk kind of thing.
Poor Max. Too many asterisks for Max in his career so far.
For sure. If Max actually goes to jail for speeding and serves time for speeding, that would be such an indictment.
I mean, it would be like
the
time...
American justice system.
It's not the American justice system!
It's an indictment of ours, though.
Oh, that makes us look stupid. Don't go to jail. Got you. Okay. I got you. Okay.
I was like, What? It would be like the time Taylor Swift showed up for jury duty and the whole world was like, that's so cool of her. Like, Max going to jail.
That's so like, cool of him doing his civic duty.
That's so real. He went to jail. I mean, I've seen NASCAR drivers get big speeding tickets and have to do like community service and stuff. Is Max going to have to do community service? Is there community service in Monaco? Like, is there a community to serve?
Is there a community to serve?
I can't imagine that. Like, I feel like that everything is so pristine over. I'm going this
is
week.
Is there
though.
A jail in Monaco? You're going to Monaco? Can you
I'm
see
going to Monaco.
If there, there are jails in Monaco? I'm gonna
knock on the door and be like, hey, is Max here? Okay.
Okay, wait. I just Googled Monaco jails, and the first thing that comes up is inside Monaco's jail, iconic Riviera. It sounds like a resort.
Okay, when I go over there, I'll get arrested for the show. I'll get arrested. Yeah.
Does Monaco have a 5-star prison behind bars with a seaside view? You're on the sea,
dude.
In jail.
What are you in for?
I've been trying to convince my husband that I'd be great in jail, and I think the Monaco jail is like now ascended to the jail that I want to go be jailed at.
I don't think any of us would be good in jail.
I'd be great in jail.
I think I would be a good cult leader, and I also think I would be great in jail. I would have all the people rallying around me. We would lead uprisings. Like,
I think your cellmate would like try to get into solitary.
You think they'd be sick of me?
Tell me about Chris Angel please. One more time.
She keeps about talking Chris about yeah, Chris Angel. She keeps talking about Chris Angel and Kyle Busch. I can't take it anymore. Warden, please.
It's so true.
I goes in the Kyle yard Busch, and gets stabbed.
Kyle Busch was the NASCAR driver who got community service for speeding.
That's right. Okay, the so one. There is precedent. There
okay.
is precedent.
Enjoy it, Max. Have fun.
Pierre Gasly had one heck of a race. He started P12 in his third straight Q2 elimination, but he finished on the podium. This man got a third place finish, which was exciting. Per F1.com, Gasly has been pointless in three previous Grand Prix, which
like pointless. He's gone without points.
Yeah, sans points. Yeah. I think that's... This is the perfect phrasing for most of Alpine season, honestly.
Is that that's like a Britishism, isn't it?
That has to be.
Pointless. It has to be a Britishism.
It has to be. Also, who wrote the article?
I mean, yeah.
Someone wrote this article.
Well, yeah, it's probably a Brit talking about a French guy. Of course they're going to.
Oh, it's Sean Kelly!
Sean Kelly! Hey, Sean!
I love you, Sean. Thank you
for... We love you, Sean.
Thank you
for
calling
That is such good
Pierre
phrasing.
Even though Pierre finished well, he was one of the bad boys of the track and got a 5-second time penalty around lap 17 for speeding in the pit lane. That did not keep him off the podium. He still absolutely killed it, which is exciting for Alpine because they still don't really like have anyone in charge for real right now. They got rid of Otmar Sneffauer and haven't put anyone in permanently. There's just like some people sitting around, so
they're just vibing, they're just absolutely chilling, nobody's in charge.
Maybe this will revitalize them and maybe Pierre Gasly can be the boss now.
Can we just sit for a moment and imagine Pierre Gasly as an actual bad boy? Let's just like dress him up in all black, put some chains on his pants, his skinny jeans, and give him eyeliner.
He's not that kind of bad boy. He's just like the normal looking bad boy who texts you up at 3 a.m. Like that's
the kind
of bad
boy. Does.
He is.
You know he does. You know he does. Like like every day of his life.
Alex Albon had a great weekend proving he's a formidable driver in the wet. As we all know, Alex is responsible for all 11 of Williams' points so far this season. He has been surprising us all year, and this week was really no different. After going 5th fastest in free practice 1, he came back in FP2 and finished just over 2/10 off of Lando and Max in a truly stunning show of force. Then he came back and qualified in P4, and though he finished in P8, it's still a great drive for such difficult conditions, especially since Williams kept him out on the softs, down to P15 by lap 14, and had to fight his way back into those points. So very good drive from Alex. Unfortunately, though, his teammate Logan Sargeant crashed for a second time this weekend on lap 16, and that brought out that safety car. Not a mixed weekend for Williams, but Alex is great. And Williams, I can't remember who said it. I can't remember which driver said it, but they said that the Williams is no longer a slow car. I don't know if you guys saw that. So that's kind of the sentiment in the grid right now. It's like people are noticing, like, oh, crap, man.
I also would love to note that Logan Sargeant's crash was not his fault. The team admitted afterward that there was a hydraulic issue with his power steering after he hit a curb. So there was a failure in the power steering, and I personally would not want to drive in those conditions without power steering. So I have massive amounts of respect for Logan Sargeant. Thank you.
Really weird crash. So yeah, that makes sense.
Our dark horses of the season are Aston Martin and McLaren. Fernando Alonso is back on top. He had an amazing drive from P5 to P2, and he broke a fun little record. He beat Michael Schumacher's record for longest interval between first and last podium finishes, okay?
Wow.
So Fernando's first podium came 20 years ago in 2003, and he presumably hasn't gotten his last yet unless something just horrible happens or he just disappears or he goes to jail in Monaco. But this is technically the last for now. And Schumacher's record was 7,399 days. So wow. Fernando has beaten that. And I don't know how much that is in dog years, but it's definitely a lot. Definitely a lot.
God, that's insane. That's just mind-blowing to me.
As for McLaren, Lando started on the first row in P2 alongside Max Verstappen, but he finished P7. Sorry, Lando. Oscar Piastri had a consistent but kind of unremarkable race. He was just chilling. He started P8 and he finished P9.
It wasn't a bad showing from them. I was honestly surprised to see Aston Martin making its comeback because they've kind of swapped places with McLaren now, but also there was still Lance Stroll, so I think it was more just a fluke that Fernando is good when it's wet.
Yeah, he is very good at that.
Speaking of our fellas who did well and didn't do well, here's George Russell. George Russell, I don't know what happened to George Russell on this summer break, but he came back with a new jealous hairdo where he looks casual. Like he looks relaxed.
Looks like he's got the wind in his hair, and he's just windblown.
Like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand it. There's a whole new vibe happening here with George Russell. And as a result, he qualified in third place, which was his best start since Australia. It didn't go very well, though, after that. He stayed out during the early rain on softs, despite having some clear wobbles. And he even led the race for a little bit before Checo passed him for P1. By lap 14, he hopped on the radio to say, "I was forecast for a podium. How did we mess this up?"
Where was he, Elizabeth?
Good question. He was in 17th at that point. So yeah,
that hurts.
Yeah, right up there in the top, running for the front.
Honestly, that little radio message soured my opinion of George a little bit.
Tell us more.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like that British accent asking a kind of pointed question. It just didn't sound good. That was not a good look for PR, in my opinion. When we were watching that and that came over the broadcast, we were all like, ah, come on, dude. Like,
it was really weird. And George has been like on this kick where he's gotten extremely, like, not defensive, but offensive almost. Like, he's punchy on the radio now about how he deserves better, which is interesting because if he deserved better, maybe he would finish better. But who am I to say?
If he keeps this up, I think next season he should just lean in and become like a British Bond villain.
Maybe that's what the hair thing is. Like, he let loose.
Yeah,
his hair.
Went for the middle part.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh. I forgot about that. Yeah.
This is it. This is when we see George Russell embrace his villain status.
Yeah. You know what? I'm here for it.
George Russell has
too soft of a face. He could be like a deceiving criminal. He kind of has like Boss Baby vibes. You know what I mean? Where it's
Boss
like,
Baby? That's so offensive.
He's not. Look, he's got the middle part. I think he should start wearing like Ralph Lauren, like polo shirts, like boarding school, teenage drama.
Horrific.
Villain. And just be, I think he should do that. I think he should just lean in, be the bad guy, you know?
The British version of the jock. Whatever that is.
Yes.
It's George Russell.
Yeah, he's so posh and proper, and I think I would like him more if he just leaned into it instead of, yeah.
So, yeah. George...
And I like George already.
I do, I'm too. I'm just saying. I just want to see him, like, I don't know. He's dangerously close to having a personality. He's what we're discussing.
I think he seems like he has a personality because... He dresses like a divorced dad and someone takes photos of him and puts them on his Instagram. I think if he didn't have someone taking photos of his divorced dad outfits, he would not seem like he had a personality.
Yeah. I think what it is that, you know, he's all these racers, especially this new generation of the young guys like George and Lando and Oscar, all these guys, Max too, like they all came up growing up in racing and like having to develop racer brain at like a really young age where it's just like, I can't say anything. I can't say anything off-putting in interviews. I have to be like this perfect robot who drives well all the time. And I think we're going to see like a lot of these younger drivers start to in the coming years after they've proven themselves and like kind of cemented themselves on the grid, their personalities come out a little bit more because now they know they're safe to do that.
I don't think you're wrong, honestly. And I think we're finally like George knows he's all set. Like he's got the Mercedes chops. He just can do whatever he wants to do now. And he did do all right. He got as far up as P6, but things went absolutely terribly. After a restart, he got a puncture after he had a little shebang with Lando Norris. But the visibility was so bad that they left it as a shrug, pretty much. Ultimately, George finished the race back in 17th. It wasn't a good day to be George Russell.
Ooh. Ouch.
Wasn't really a good day to be Zhou Guanyu either. Alfa Romeo's Zhou Guanyu crashed near the end of the race and brought out red flags for everybody. Rain had plagued the whole race, and near the end, the drivers were forced to switch from slicks back to inners, except for Esteban Ocon, who went for the full wet tire, thinking that it would rain even more. And drivers like Checo, Yuki, and Lewis, they all went into the gravel. Then, Zhou Guanyu slid into a barrier. Checo Perez came in for inters to switch for the wet tires at a very bad time because a red flag would shortly come out, or would come out shortly, my bad. So replays showed that Checo had hit a barrier on entry to the pit lane, but this was before the red flags were waved.
But also, there was like some weirdness where F1 was like, we're going to change the restart order because of the
red flag timing.
Checo, you can start way higher than that. Like,
it was because he was down in P5, I think, and then started in third.
Yeah.
When it came time to restart. I didn't really understand that either. They didn't really clarify. Or if they did, it's not my fault that I wasn't paying attention.
you were too hopped up on donuts and mimosas and nitro cold brew.
Nolan was dying.
I was in a bad spot. I was in a bad spot yesterday.
They feed you way better than that in Monaco jails, Nolan.
I can't wait. Zhou Guanyu's result is a bummer because he had a good start and even ran in. He was in P2 on lap 4 because of those pit stops. But still, it was kind of cool to see him up in those positions. Anyway, he was forced to retire the car with floor damage. And after the rain cleared, we went racing again and the use of inters became mandatory.
And finally, we have our new guy, Liam Lawson. Does he sound like a One Direction member or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like,
big time boy band energy for sure.
Big with that boy name. Band energy from this name. Like his parents.
Liam Lawson's my favorite.
Yeah. His parents chose this name and was like, our boy is going to be a heartthrob. Wow. Okay.
Definite heartthrob name for sure.
For sure. So he received a 10-second time penalty around lap 7 for impeding Kevin Magnussen. Sorry, Kevin. But considering how tough this race was with the rain and the not rain and everybody hitting everything, he did pretty well. He started P19 and he finished just out of the points in P13. Not bad, Liam Lawson.
as we saw with Nick DeVries, probably a good thing that that's as high as he finished for him.
Yeah.
Because if he finished in the top 10 and then he comes back, expectations are going to be so high and then AlphaTauri is going to fire him.
Yeah.
That's what I predict.
I think, honestly, like this was the best it could possibly be. He finished well. He finished clean. He did pretty dang good despite wild conditions. And 13th is like the upper end of midfield. So there's still room for improvement, but he didn't set his standards a little bit too high, which is great.
Yeah, very promising. He over-delivered and under-promised. A classic, classic maneuver. Want.
It's a good move. And I did not see him finishing P13 like when qualifying was going on or at the beginning of the race. I was like, oh yeah, this dude is going to ride around in last and he's going to pick up some spots when some people hit the wall. But P13, good job, Liam Lawson.
Pretty good. Pretty good. And if you guys were wondering, my favorite boy band member when I was growing up, when Backstreet Boys Black and Blue came out, flip through that little cover art there, the cover book, AJ, my favorite member of Backstreet Boys, because he was the bad boy. So that digression out of the way.
Let's sum it all up. The Dutch Grand Prix ended up with Max Verstappen, Fernando Alonso, and Pierre Gasly on podium. After that, we had Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, Lewis Hamilton, and Lando Norris. And then to round out the points was Alex Albon, Oscar Piastri, and our boy Stevie Ocon. By the way, we also had a ton of penalties that impacted the order a little bit. Yuki Tsunoda got a 5-second penalty for causing a collision. Checo got a 5-second penalty for speeding in pit lane. Kevin Magnussen got a 5-second penalty for falling more than 10 car lengths behind the safety car. It was a whole thing.
What was Kevin Magnussen doing to fall that far behind the safety car? Like, what was he doing? I don't really know how you get this penalty.
He was wondering why he re-signed with Haas. And then
it's a weird one.
He was thinking about how it's not a Haas, it's a home.
No, I love that.
I actually said house. Anyway. Okay, now that I'm done laughing at my own joke, the fastest lap and driver of the day went to Fernando Alonso, which is kind of crazy because it was the Dutch Grand Prix and Fernando Alonso got driver of the day. Good for you, Fernando. Wasn't expecting that.
It's because all of the Dutch fans were at the racetrack and they couldn't vote for driver of the day.
They couldn't vote because they didn't
have signal.
The 5G
was jammed up. They couldn't vote in time.
So true. Good for you, Fernando Alonso. Exploit the rules. Our DNFs were Joe Guanyu, Charles Leclerc, and Logan Sargeant, sadly. I thought it was a good race. How do we think this plays in to the second half of the season or the last bit of the season?
I mean, now we're in the home stretch for the midfield teams to get those second and third place positions. Red Bull, obviously, still whooping that ass. Max, we got to see that. Yeah. We got to see Max get that 10th win. And I don't know.
I think it was a good comeback from the summer break. Like, it was a good spicy race. Things are exciting. We're heading into like a set of good races coming up. Like, I'm here for it. I'm feeling good about it.
And this is where I'm at. It's time for Boyfriend of the Week.
Woo!
Who's our boyfriend this week? It's Middle School Rules for the week only. I think I have a pretty good one, so I'm going to go last and see if you guys also think so. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Elizabeth,
it's not Lando Norris.
Oh, it's not Lando Norris?
It's not. It's not. Oh, my goodness. I promise you.
Good deal.
I'm going to go with George Russell's stylist because I appreciate this bold move with whatever the hair situation is. I think it's great. I'm very excited. This signals a new turn of direction for George Russell, and I'm excited. It's a good time.
I think that's a good one. I am going to pick another obvious one. I'm going to pick Logan Sargeant for after DNFing from the race, he went and sat in some tall grass, just helmet on, sat in some tall grass, most Florida man thing I've ever seen. And then like 15 minutes later, they cut to a shot of him. He's found a chair and he has his head in his hands. And then they cut to a shot of him again, like 15 minutes later. And he's in the same chair. And he's just like, I think he has his eyes closed. And he's just done. He's
like covered his face.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
he's so done. And I just love that he did not go back to the paddock right away. He was like, nope, I'm going to sit in some grass. Some grass, like grass that looked like it had a bunch of snakes in it. Grass.
Okay, but he's from Florida. Like, come on. I'm sure he's seen worse things in grass.
He's not scared. That was great. I think it made a wonderful little storyline and thing to check in on throughout the race. The end of the race, he finally went back to the paddock, which was really funny. My runner-up is I was watching this TikTok from this person who does skits where they pretend they're in 90 Day Fiancé, and they're like, hello, my name is Tamley Tomlinson, and I'm going to go meet my fiancé I have never met. And in one of the skits, Tammy goes to the airport and finds a statue of Amelia Earhart. And she's like, this is Amelia Earhart Jr., who, if you did not know, was the first woman to drive a NASCAR car across the ocean. And I was like, beautiful. Even my rotten brain could never think of that. So that's my runner up. Nolan, go.
My boyfriend of the week is the lion mascot.
Yes!
At the track, at the Grand Prix.
Yes!
Whoever that poor soul inside that suit was, I know you were soggy by the end of the race. They had you out there in the rain.
Wow.
In that suit. I do not want to know what that suit smells like after that race.
Wow. I want to know how much it weighed when it was saturated.
Oh my God. That's another good, that's a great point. Probably weighed like 300 pounds, waterlogged like that.
I wish I could have heard that person walk away after the race.
Yeah, I was like, just,
it'd be the squishy sound that you get at the water park. Exactly.
Yep.
Like when you get off the ride at the water park and it's over.
Terrible. Yeah, great. Love it. Love that line. So there you go. There's our boyfriends of the week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Donut Racing Show. We'll be back next week to talk about the Italian Grand Prix at Monza and see if they have any good prisons near there.
Probably not. It's Italy.
Probably not.
In the meantime, make sure to subscribe and tell all of your friends to tune into the Donut Racing Show. If you want to leave us a 5-star and kindly worded review, that really helps us out. We also have an email address, so please get in touch. It is donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. We might read your emails out on the show if you send us a good one. Here's one we got recently. Hey, DRS crew. I just want to let you all know that I love the show. I know this sounds dark, so hear me out. Nolan, you remind me a lot of my best friend Joe, who passed away a few years ago. Joe was my only friend that was into cars and racing, so my race car has been in a billion pieces rotting in the garage ever since he passed. I just don't have the know-how or the emotional bandwidth to pick up the tools anymore, but listening every week to you all shoot the shit and talk about racing has helped me through a dark place. Nolan, you seem like a good, kind, nerdy dude, and hearing you every week is like having that gearhead friend again. On a more positive note, Alanis and Elizabeth, you two are awesome. You two starting DRS with Nolan is what got my 15-year-old daughter to listen with me and watch the races on Sundays. Before DRS, she said that racing was just for the boys, so thank you for bringing more female voices into motorsports. Love the book, too. You all need to write some more F1 history books. I'd be the first to pre-order. Thank you for everything you do. And if any of you are in Seattle and want an RX-8, bring a trailer. Yeah, I do. I'd love to go for it. I'd love for it to go to a good home rather than to the scrapyard. If you ever find a way to add a few words in, please remind your listeners that suicide is a permanent solution to temporary problems. Thank you again. You are all my boyfriends of the week every week from Addie. Thank you so much. That's the sweetest.
I'm so glad you read that because I'm crying.
That's the nicest email I think we've ever gotten. And yes, please. I hate that, like, the standard, like, reach out to people. But also, if you are in a dark place, please let someone know it doesn't have to be the end.
Oh, Addie, we love you. Thank you for saying that. I've read this email like probably 8 times and I literally cry every time. Like I am crying right now. That is the sweetest thing. I know it was very hard for you to write and very meaningful for you, and it's very meaningful for us too. And
yeah, thank you.
Wow, thank you, Addie. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Okay. If you're not familiar with Donut, we also have a YouTube channel as well as an automotive history show called Pass Gas. Go check those out. Follow Donut Racing Show on X at Donut Racing Show and email us at donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. Follow Alanis at Alanis N. King on Twitter and Instagram. She also has a YouTube channel.
Oh, I do.
Alanis King.
I have a video of Max Verstappen driving me around.
Over there on Doug DeMiro. Yeah, check Alanis out on the internet. Follow Liz at eliz_blackstock on Twitter and Eliza Blackstock on Instagram. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes on both. But goodbye.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.